thank you guys. That was awesome. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and sing to the Lord this morning, shall we? Be seated. Good job, guys. Church, let's continue to sing the thing that we confess, that Christ is risen from the dead. He is now our life and our hope. Let's sing that together.
What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to Him belong, who holds our days within His hand. What comes apart from His command, and what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand.
Seated. Tim, sir.
And read one of the resurrection accounts. He's going to read it probably in Spanish, and I think the English is going to be on the screen. Okay? Thank you, Dempster.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Please open the Bible in Matthew 28, verse 1 to 10. Pasado el día de reposo, al amanecer del primer día de la semana, vinieron María Magdalena y la otra María a ver el sepulcro. Y hubo un gran terremoto, porque un ángel del Señor, descendiendo del cielo y llegando, removió la piedra y se sentó sobre ella. Su aspecto era como un relámpago y su vestido blanco como la nieve. Y de miedo de él, los guardas temblaron y se quedaron como muertos. Mas el ángel, respondiendo, dijo a las mujeres: No temáis vosotras, porque yo sé que buscáis a Jesús, el que fue crucificado. No está aquí, pues ha resucitado, como dijo. Venid, ved el lugar donde fue puesto el Señor, e id pronto y decid a sus discípulos que ha resucitado de los muertos, y he aquí va delante de vosotros a Galilea. Allí le veréis. He aquí os lo he dicho. Entonces ellas, saliendo del sepulcro con temor y gran gozo, fueron corriendo a dar las nuevas a sus discípulos. Y mientras iban a dar las nuevas a los discípulos, he aquí Jesús les salió al encuentro diciendo: ¡Salve! Y ellas, acercándose, abrazaron sus pies y le adoraron. Entonces Jesús les dijo: No temáis, id, da las nuevas a mis hermanos para que vaya a Galilea y allí me verán. Vamos a orar. Padre Santo, te adoramos en esta hora. Te damos gracias porque Cristo Jesús ha resucitado de entre los muertos.
Father, we thank you because Jesus Christ, our Lord, has resurrected from the dead.
Gracias porque Él venció no solamente al pecado, sino a la muerte también.
Thank you that he conquered not just sin, but also death.
Y esta resurrección también es nuestra resurrección.
And this resurrection is our resurrection.
Es una de las gloriosas y futuras esperanzas que tenemos, que un día resucitaremos.
This is our glorious hope that we will resurrect one day.
Y ayúdanos a mirarte.
Help us to fix our eyes in you.
De tal manera que al creer y seguir creyendo en tu resurrección, tu gozo sea cumplido en nosotros.
So that as we continue believing in your resurrection, your joy will be in us.
Aleluya. Gloria a Dios.
Aleluya. Glory to you.
Cristo ha resucitado.
Jesus is risen.
Es una realidad.
It's a reality.
Que también es nuestra realidad.
It's our reality.
Gracias.
Thank you.
En el nombre de Jesucristo.
In your name, Amén. Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amén.
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 Don, go ahead and stand up. Let's continue singing together.
See what a morning gloriously bright, with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. Folded the grave clothes, tomb filled with light, as the angels announce Christ is risen. See God's salvation plan, brought in love, born in pain, paid in sacrifice, fulfilled in Christ the man, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. See Mary weeping, where is he laid, as in sorrow she turns from the empty tomb, hears a voice speaking, calling her name, it's the Master, the Lord, raised to life again. The voice that spans the years, speaking life, stirring hope, bringing peace to us, will sound till he appears, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. One with the Father, of days, through the Spirit who clothes faith with certainty, honor and blessing, glory and praise to the King, crowned with power and authority. And we are raised with him, death is dead, love is won, Christ is conquered. And we shall is risen from the dead, and we are raised with him, death is dead, love is won, Christ is conquered, and we shall reign with him, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead.
Amen. Y'all can be seated.
Hello, hello. Ah, there you go. Okay. Good morning again. We are so thankful for these three brothers and sisters for this obedience, step of obedience that they're taking this morning. We have seen their surrender to the Lord and their faithfulness. We had a long baptism classes, 3 months with them. So Brian is going to be the first one. Gracias. ask you two questions.
Brian. Delante del Señor.
Before the Lord.
Has consagrado, has vendido tu vida a Jesucristo como tu Señor y Salvador.
Have you surrendered your life to Christ as your Lord? Yes.
Brian. También quieres seguir a Jesucristo como tu Señor, ser discípulo de Él.
You want to follow Jesus and be His disciple? Yes, very good.
Por la confesión de Brian,
by his confession, and by the witnesses that we have seen these past years,
we
baptize him in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. We can just see that it's God is the one who can transform and give us a new life. But even though I have to ask you, have you surrendered your life to Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes. You want to follow Him? her be his disciple. Yes. By her testimony, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now I can live trusting that I have a Father who loves me, and my life is full of faith in Him alone. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, for your awesome grace.
Amen.
Amen. For saving me. Talia, by your own testimony, I have two questions for you. Have you given your life to the Lord as your Lord and Savior? Yes. You want to follow His steps? Be His disciple? By her own confession, her own words, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oops. Okay. Thank you so much for this time, brothers and sisters. When our Lord Jesus was baptized, as we all know, He did not baptize because He was asking for forgiveness, but He was leaving an example for us. I encourage you, if you have accepted the Lord, had an encounter with Him, continue following Him and take this step of obedience. Baptize. The Lord bless you.
We could, the choir really wishes we could see what was happening up here. But we are thankful that God is moving in lives and saving souls. Amen. We had four baptized this morning at the sunrise service, and about halfway through this song, you're going to see a video of that. So I just wanted to call attention to that for you.
Thank you.
You made a covenant with me, signed by the blood that still speaks. Now I'm forgiven, I'm called righteous, I'm made clean. There on the cross at Calvary, you gave it all to purchase me. You are the Savior and the God who sets me free.
You'll take a copy of God's Word and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 12, Paul writes this. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
Let's stand and sing.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied.
Seated.
Wow, what a service we're having. Amen. And look, the children are probably going to make some noise, okay? We're used to adults doing that. The children are going to do that some. We don't have a nursery today if you hadn't figured that out, but I love it. I love the sound of the children. Now, if it gets loud enough, you might take them out and let them calm down and bring them back. Let's be gracious to one another in that. But man, we love it. The importance of the resurrection. I want to spend a few minutes talking about that this morning. Jason read the passage, 1 Corinthians 15:17 is where I'm really going to focus this morning. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's useless. It's pointless. And you are still in your sins. But here's the truth. We know Christ has been raised. Therefore, we are who are in Christ have been saved. And we will share in Christ's victory over death. Hallelujah. Jesus' resurrection is at the core of the gospel message. It's the foundation of our faith. I wasn't sure I was going to share this story. I probably shouldn't. Because the statute of limitations is up on it, I think. About 30 years ago, it was my first Easter here. I think we got rained out. We knew it was going to rain. I think we had the service inside the old sanctuary. That was long before everything from the Welcome Center this way was built. So the second year, Sharon and I had gotten married in the interim, and that week we went down to see my folks, and it was late Saturday night. We got in. Sunday morning, we both awoke to the house phone ringing. Bad news. That's bad. We both shot up. We knew what that meant. We're late. It was Brian Hodges on the phone. He said, my dad wanted to call and see if you're coming to the sunrise service. I'm like, Brian, I think it was like 6:26. I'm like, couldn't you call about 10 minutes ago? I jumped up, and it was the first time and the only time that Sharon has helped me physically get my clothes on. But I was wearing a suit when I got here. I think I tied my tie on the way, and I was here in less than 10 minutes. Now, I lived close at the time. But I was pulling into the gravel parking lot. It was all gravel, and it was the entrance down that way, toward that way. We didn't have a playground over there in the yard. And so all I could see was cars on that end, so I come tearing in the parking lot, thinking I'm going to sneak in. They had set up the chairs in the front yard where the playground is, facing the raised walkway. I look over and everybody's doing like this in their chair. And I'm going. So I'm busted. I pulled right to the steps. I jumped out of the car and ran up the steps, and everybody's clapping and laughing, and I took a bow. And Gerald said, now that you're here, why don't you lead us in a song? And I said, let's rise and sing together. I didn't have a voice. I'm wiping the sleep out of my eyes. I saw a story this week that reminded me of that. And I don't remember exactly what Gerald said to me the next Easter, but I imagine it was something like, Christ is risen, and on Sunday morning, you better rise too. Well, here's the deal. Christ is risen, and we've been saved from our sin, and we will rise too. We will. Christ is risen, and therefore we will be resurrected. And I'm not talking about getting out of bed. He shares the victory with us. My first point, the reality of the resurrection. I put two proofs in your bulletin, and I added a third one after the bulletin was printed. I'm lumping a lot of evidence here. This is not a complete treatment on the issue, but I just wanted to point out a couple of things. Verse 3 of chapter 15, it says, for I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. The scriptural support is the greatest evidence there is that the resurrection is not only possible, but it's part of God's plan according to Scripture. There are over 300 verses on Jesus' resurrection in the New Testament. That was the bonus point. Number one in your bulletin, number two, the empty tomb testifies to Jesus' resurrection. The Jewish leaders did not even try to deny the empty tomb. They just concocted a story about the disciples stealing the body. And of course, that's why they had the Roman guards there in the first place. They were afraid that might happen because they remembered Jesus talking about the resurrection. The story was that they stole Jesus' body while the guards were asleep. Now, some people are hard sleepers. That's me. Some people are hard sleepers. But even if all the disciples snuck up there while the guards were asleep and they all agreed to not grunt while they were moving this probably 4-ton stone, 4 tons, probably 8 foot, a foot to 2 foot thick, even if they all agreed we're not going to grunt when we try to move this stone, the stone's going to make noise, right? I mean, come on, man. Anyway, besides, the guards knew what had happened in Matthew 28. Verse 4, as Dempster read, we're told that the guards were so shaken from fear of the angel that they became like dead men. They were so scared they couldn't move. And then in verse 11 of that passage and following, we're told that they reported everything that had happened to the chief priest, and then they were bribed. They were paid a large sum of money to say his disciples came during the night and stole his body while we were sleeping. And we're told that that's exactly what they did. It was an attempted cover-up of the resurrection. And I guess for those Roman soldiers, as proud as they were, claiming incompetence and not being punished and getting paid was better than telling the truth, which is inconceivable. It's either be incompetent or be crazy. If we tell them what really happened, we'll be crazy. So we'll just be incompetent. The second or third point is the eyewitness accounts testify to Jesus' resurrection. The witnesses of the resurrection are reliable. Verse 5 in chapter 15. Jesus appeared to Cephas, then the disciples. 500, then he appeared to 500 at one time. Paul says some who are still alive. In other words, if you want to, you can go find them and hear it from their mouths. They're still alive, some of them. And then he appeared to James, and then finally to Paul himself on the road to Damascus. 500, by my count, 515 eyewitnesses attest to the resurrection. Individuals and groups over 40 days. But think about these eyewitnesses. Think about the disciples. Why would these disciples who were scattered like scared puppies and hid in their grief and confusion make such a dramatic turn and start preaching Christ resurrected immediately, in the same place? Something spectacular must have happened. To go from being so fearful to being willing to lay down their lives, which most of them did, now that's a drastic change. I mean, really, think about it. Do you devote your life to a deception that gets you grief and persecution and ultimately killed? Do you lay down your life for a lie? No. If the resurrection could have been disproved, it would have been. There was more evidence for Jesus' resurrection, and I've read this and heard this many times, more evidence for Jesus' resurrection than is necessary to convict someone of murder. Now, we know, ultimately, it is faith that is required to believe that Jesus rose from the grave and that he is who he said he is and that he did what the Bible says he did. That Jesus rose from the dead is really the only plausible answer to the empty tomb. But Paul's argument here is that Jesus literally and physically rose from the dead and that this truth is essential. It's an essential part of our faith. So some in Corinth denied the idea of the resurrection. Some believed that either it already happened. Others believed that it wasn't real, that it wasn't real. And so Paul is speaking to that. It seems that these guys didn't realize that their denial of the resurrection was destructive to the Christian faith. At least it caused a serious contradiction in their belief system. So Paul pointed out that if the Corinthians consistently maintained this anti-resurrection stance, Christ could not have been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, there is no hope, and the gospel is pointless and powerless. So Paul lays out his argument, and I'm not going to look at the whole argument. There is so much in this chapter. But we're going to focus on the heart of it, and I believe it's right here in verse 17 and 20. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive, and that makes all the difference. One theologian said, the evidence for Jesus' resurrection is so strong that nobody would question it except for two things. First, it's very unusual event, right? It's supernatural. But second, if you believe it happened, you have to change the way you live. Second main point, our new reality because of the resurrection. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, then we have no grounding to our faith. So Paul comes at it from the negative, and he lays out what he means if Jesus is still dead, or at least not physically raised. Paul uses the conditional approach. And I'm just going to run through it. It's what Jason read a while ago. If Christ has not been raised, then number one, there is no resurrection at all. You see that in verse 13 and 16. In 14, our preaching is in vain and your faith is vain. Our preaching is a sham, it's a lie, and your faith is empty and useless, Paul says. If Christ has not been raised, then we are false witnesses, he says in 15. And he says that makes us liars. In verse 17, he says, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is worthless and you're still in your sin and there is no salvation, and that means you're in trouble. In verse 18, he says, if Christ has not been raised, then those who have died are gone. In verse 19, he says, if Christ has not been raised, then we are miserable and above all others, most to be pitied, felt sorry for. We have no hope beyond this life if Christ has not been raised, which means we have no hope. So the resurrection, it's no big deal, right? It's huge. Jesus is alive, or Christianity is a lie. So our new reality is built on first who Jesus is, and that's the next point. The resurrection proves that Jesus is the Son of God. The disciples were shaken by the crucifixion. Again, they were scared. They were heartbroken. They were hopeless. They didn't know what to do. But it was the resurrection that finally convinced even the disciples themselves. Consider Thomas. He said, I won't believe it, this is my paraphrase, unless I put my finger into the nail scars on his hand, and until I can put my hand in the hole that the spear made in his side. Until that, I'm not going to believe it. That was Thomas. But what happened? Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up in the upper room, and Thomas bowed down and he said, my Lord and my God. On the day of Pentecost, Peter argued the necessity of Christ's resurrection from the prophecy in Psalm 16. See, these Jews were thinking the prophecy was about David, that David was talking about David. But David was pointing ahead to Jesus. And Paul, as he's preaching this sermon, he lays it out for them. He said, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. In other words, it was according to God's plan that Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. You crucified him and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by death. But David said concerning him, and I'm going to skip through and get to the verse 27. He's talking about Jesus here. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or the grave, or let your Holy One see corruption. And Peter goes on to say, brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is still with us to this day. He's saying that can't be about David because we know where he's buried. He says, being therefore a prophet, talking about David, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. And then he concluded, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He is God and he is risen." One more example. That was Thomas, Peter. How about Paul? A glorious example from Romans 10, where Paul actually linked Jesus' deity to the resurrection by making it clear that Lord in verse 9 means Yahweh as it is in verse 13. And he's citing Joel 2 for that. Here's what Romans 10 says. It's very familiar. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. If you don't know Jesus, listen to this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Yahweh will be saved. Believe, in verse 9, believe Jesus is Lord and be saved. In verse 13, call on the name of the Lord Yahweh and be saved. The point is that Jesus is the fully divine Son of God who is resurrected. He has the power. He can save us from our sin and its consequences. Second point, the resurrection proves that Jesus' death on the cross was sufficient to atone for our sins and satisfy God's justice. Jesus' resurrection demonstrates that God accepted his sacrifice. Now we know that death is a consequence of sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. The penalty or the pay that we deserve because of our sin is death. But the gift of God, and that's separation from God for eternity. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So think about it this way. If in the end death wins and death is victorious over Christ's people, then we remain forever in our graves. Sin and death are finally victorious and we are not saved at all. No, that cannot be. Going a step further, if there's no resurrection, it would mean that we're still accountable for our sin, that God will judge and condemn us for our sin. Now, Paul had pointed out in verse 3 that Christ died for our sins. But if God had not vindicated him by raising him from the dead, there would be no reason to believe that he was able to deal with the problem of our sin. We would still be dead in our trespasses and sins and still walking according to the world and Satan in the flesh, according to Ephesians 2, and still children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Romans 4:25 puts it this way, spells it out. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sin and raised in order to accomplish our justification. So justification is being declared righteous, being made righteous. It is what Jesus did for us by putting his righteousness on us and by taking our sin. And by doing that, he made a way so that we could have a relationship with holy God. For Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Guys, faith has no greater object, no greater value than its object. If Jesus is dead, then we have no reason to believe that our sins were atoned for. That would make him just a man in the grave like all others. If the tomb wasn't empty, then we're still in our sin. And if Jesus is physically dead, that means we're still spiritually dead. But again, the resurrection is God's proof that Christ's death did what he said it would do and that it verifies our justification. And that's a big deal. Amen? Jesus said, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. My dad had the biggest wad of keys I've ever seen in my life. But he was a man with some authority. He owned his business. He had keys. Keys mean authority. Jesus has the keys of death and the grave. He's the one. And by his resurrection, Jesus has conquered sin and death. Number 3, The resurrection of Jesus guarantees that all who belong to Him will be resurrected as well. Check this out, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and then at his coming, those who belong to him. Jesus has been resurrected, he is fully alive, and because we belong to him, we'll be resurrected too. Amen. Now here's the deal. It's not going to be in these bodies, not like this, because these bodies have been affected by sin. You probably felt it when you got up this morning. Oh, yes. Every bit of it's been affected by sin. And the perishable will not inherit the imperishable. The mortal will not inherit the immortal. Okay? So how does that work out then? Well, the power that raised Jesus will raise us when he comes again. When Jesus returns, the living will be changed, and those who are physically died will change as well. Verse 52. I'm skipping around. Verse 52. We shall all be changed. That's all those who belong to Christ. And this transformation, again, is necessary because these present bodies of Christians are subject to death and they're unfit for God's presence. But verses 42 through 44 says these bodies, the resurrected bodies we will have, will be imperishable. They'll be raised in glory. They'll be raised in power. They'll be raised a spiritual body. Only these glorified resurrection bodies will fit for eternal life in God's presence in His new creation. There are three aspects of salvation. Justification, we just talked about that, being declared righteous. And then there's sanctification, and that's what's happening now as believers, as the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is making us to be more and more like Christ. And then there's the glorification, and that one's coming, and that's the hope we hold on to. That He who began a good work in us is going to complete it, and that's going to be the last step. We're going to receive glorified bodies one day. And that's a glorious thought. Job said, "And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Folks, our bodies will be redeemed, our whole person saved, spirit, soul, and body. In Philippians 3, 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Jesus said in John 14, because I live, you also will live. Jesus wins the victory, and then He shares the spoils with His people. And last point, the resurrection confirms that Jesus has defeated death. When what we have in the resurrection of Christ is the death of death. Amen. I love that line in that song. Death is dead. Love has won. Christ has conquered. Yes. Dr. Aiken wrote, Jesus has taken the doom out of death and the gloom out of the grave. Where the grave was once a period to close the sentence of life, Jesus has made it a comma. Where the grave was once a wall that separated us from God, it is now a bridge that takes us to God. Isn't that good news? Do y'all remember the little poem you learned as a kid? Humpty Dumpty? Uh-oh. If you remember it, help me say it. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. I might have added a word, sorry. Pastor Chuck Swindoll rewrote that little poem for Easter. This is what he said. Jesus Christ came to our wall. Jesus Christ died for our fall. He slew Queen Death. He crushed King Sin. Through grace, He put us together again. Amen. Verse 54. Folks, death is swallowed up in one triumphant, overcoming victory. Death is conquered. Where is conquering death? It's swallowed up. Death, where is your sting? Think about the sting for a second. Let's think about that. Think about a scorpion sting or a hornet sting or a snake bite. In other words, think pain. Think agony. But we know that about death already, don't we? It's one of the worst hurts you can experience. It's deep. It's abiding. It cuts. And it's not just death. It's also the threat of death. But it won't be that way forever. It will lose its sting. Death will die. It is defeated and it will be destroyed. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Death will be destroyed. And while I'm here, I might as well tell you. Can I tell you how the story ends? Let me tell you how the story ends. Look at verse 24. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God, talking about Jesus, delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. See, folks, God has a plan. All of his enemies will in that day be destroyed, and all of the universe, everything will be in harmony, everything united under God enthroned. And that is where we're headed. That's where it's all headed. So here's the deal. We all sin, and in our sins, we need to be delivered out of our sins. We need to be rescued. Jesus died and was raised to deal with the problem of our sin. If you haven't settled that question, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, well, that means that you're still in your sin, you're still under the condemnation of the law of God, and justice demands that you receive the wrath of God. How can you be saved? By turning from your sin and believing that Jesus died and was resurrected and putting your faith and trust in Him. The resurrection means that, believers, our sin has been paid for. Praise the Lord. The resurrection means we have hope that this isn't all there is. I love what Jason said this morning. What did you say? I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Because he lives, I can face... that's right. We can face tomorrow, but we can face today. Because he lives, we can face today. It means that we who have turned from our sin and trusted in Jesus are saved, and that he who began that good work will complete it. We're saved, and one day we will experience the final aspect of our salvation when we receive our glorified bodies and spend eternity with the Lord in glory. It means that we don't approach death the same way the world does. Yes, we mourn. And it hurts. We mourn the loss of loved ones who are in Christ, but we do not grieve without hope. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. But Christ has been raised. Your faith is therefore effective, it's fruitful, and you are no longer bound by the penalty and power of sin, and you have the promise that one day you will be free from the presence of sin and its terrible consequences, namely death. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time we've had to worship you, to celebrate the life and the victory that we have. Thank you for our salvation, this glorious salvation that you've given us. Lord, I pray for the ones here this morning that don't know you. Lord, you have drawn them here. They're not here by accident. Lord, you desire that they'd hear this message. Lord, I pray their heart would be soft to receive the truth of the gospel. Lord, I pray that you'd make them miserable in their sin until they run to you. Lord, save their souls. Lord, for the believers, Lord, I pray they'd be encouraged this morning to think about all that Jesus accomplished for us on that cross and then when he was resurrected. Thank you, Lord, for our salvation. Thank you for this life. Lord, we thank you for this time of worship. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.